Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show. It's Party Friday, but we're designating Saturday as a party day. That's going to be the organizational meeting of the Republican Party, and we're going to have some fireworks.
Yes, yes, you are. We're going to have Pat Cage on in a little bit from Boulder County to talk about that, because actually they're asking for some help from some local folks, and you want to hear about that. Patrick Neville coming up to give us the weekly report on all the bad things that they're doing to us at the Capitol. The show brought to you today by AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website for conservative voices, and Denver Synergenics with Dr. Julie McCallum. And also, I'll remind folks, you can always just go to chuckandjulie.com. I'd like to refer you all there. Everything you can find where we are.
Possibly want in life.
Anything you could possibly want in life is going to be there. And I promise, if you've had some people, I will. What I'm doing is I'm trying to figure out exactly how to put the, where to put the Vimeo post from the Mark Poff interview we had with the George Floyd thing. You know, we're waiting for Patrick. One of the things we wanted to talk about was a press conference. And I mean, I use the term loosely, okay? It was disgraceful on the part of the media. I thought it was disastrous on the part of
Not quite disastrous, just short of disastrous, just kind of ghoulishly pathetic. As somebody said, you know, if you were interviewing somebody to be CEO of a multinational company with huge problems, concerns, and challenges, would you watch that and go, oh, that's the guy we want?
He seems good.
Yeah, he seems really on top of things.
Hey, we've got Representative Patrick Neville with us. Hey, Patrick, thank you for your time on this Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So
what ghoulish things are happening down at the Capitol
speaking
today?
Speaking of ghoulish.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff coming. So we have, in short order, the bill that's going to criminalize the victims of crime if they don't report their crime of getting their guns stolen, which will then lead to a national or, you know, a statewide registration of guns, right. I suppose. And that's kind of what they want. That's really what their goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, I think next week we're going to hear in committee the wonderful state government option of health care, where they can come in and the insurance commissioner can go ahead and tell providers they must accept these policies, all the way down to like massage therapists have to accept the policy.
Yeah.
And the insurance commissioner can just go ahead and set the prices. So
I heard this has been nicknamed the drive doc good doctors out of Colorado bill.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it's gonna do. I mean, they're basically, when you can fix prices, there's not gonna be any private company, insurance company that's gonna be able to compete with this. And then what you're going to have is these doctors not being able to cover their costs, not being able to cover their malpractice insurance and all their other costs that they have associated with abiding by Obamacare policies. And so they're just going to say, well, where am I going to take my services and my expertise elsewhere to a different state?
Yeah,
well, and here's a question, Patrick, because, you know, I had to get, after I quit working at Fox Radio News, I had to get my own insurance. And this was with the latest kind of version of Colorado. I mean, it was a disaster. I remember calling up and, you know, before where you could kind of shop around and then find a, you know, for instance, I don't need heroin addiction rehab. Don't need a maternity anymore either.
Are you sure about that, Julie?
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Are you sure about that?
Revis 10.
I'm not sure it's as his age, it's your age.
but you know, I was talking and I said, well, you know, the amount of money they were going to charge was unaffordable. I couldn't do it. And I said, well, can't I just get, you know, sort of a catastrophic? And they're like, nope, this is your choice. I'm like, you're kidding me. And then even then you couldn't get on to sign up. And we heard so many stories from people who, even if they could sign up, couldn't get on to get it processed. I mean, that rollout was anything but successful, wouldn't you say? And this is going to be what, a million times worse?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's going to be completely run. It's going to be run, and supposedly they're going to tax exempt themselves and have it run by a charity, but then the commissioner of insurance can be the one that sets the prices. So you can already see the writing on the wall. It's going to be a giant bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. I've got enough troubles with the VA as it is. And so people think that you know, they truly want this, go deal with the VA. And, you know, at least the one thing about the VA is it's actually covered. Well, this you're going to have to pay for it too. And like I said, there's not going to be any insurance companies that are actually going to be able to compete for any length of time, because they actually have to go in with the doctors and providers and negotiate those prices. This one can just come in and fix it however they see fit. So there's no way that these private insurance plans are going to stick around for any length of time. And then we're going to have state-run healthcare in Colorado.
Now, I got to assume that insurance companies are not liking this. I mean, is there much pushback against this? Or are we just in a place right now in Colorado where the Democrats, they just don't care?
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. They just don't care. They think they have this mandate and they're going to push this through. It's one of the things that they were trying to push through last year. And they kept saying, it was funny because last year they kept saying, well, there's too many providers out there. We just have an explosion of supply and something needs to be done. So we need to push this plan. And then we get a pandemic that hits and, oh, wow, we actually do need hospital bed space and we do need new hospitals being built and actually accommodate our new population coming in. Hey, this is a good thing to actually have healthcare services all around the state and ample supply. And now I guess the pandemic's winding down, so they can think, oh, well, now's a great time. Let's bring it forward. Let's just go ahead and put everything under the state control. This will just be a grand.
I'll give you pushback on one thing. You say they think they have a mandate. They don't think they have a mandate because you win mandates, you lose mandates. You know, people are popular and unpopular. Once you rig the system, though, like in the Soviet Union, you know, Stalin had a mandate until he finally choked.
Self-proclaimed mandate.
And so the Democrats know they've got it rigged. They know
fraud. It's the same thing they did with the oil and gas bills.
Yeah.
They knew darn well when they passed that there would be a big industry. They would have to leave the state and there was, you know, a conservative industry. And they probably realized with this bill that there's going to be a lot of conservatives that are going, whoa, I don't like what's happening to my health insurance. Right. I can't, you know, keep continuing to cover my family on this health insurance. And there's probably going to be some folks that leave the state. And maybe that's their goal with this too, is to keep trying to change the demographics of the state through policy.
Well, luckily there'll be a lot of replacement people that are coming through our fine border,
right
south, so they can make up the population difference.
Now, let me just ask a pesky little question, Patrick. How do they propose to pay for this?
Well, you'll pay for it. So, this is just a new, you know, insurance form of insurance that's going to come onto the market. But of course, it's government-controlled insurance where they can literally force the doctor to take it and force the doctor to take it at a specific price and force you to pay for it. So they say, oh, but your private insurance will still be around. But like I said, they're not going to be able to compete because they can't fix prices.
Right, right.
So eventually, they're going to go away. And then, it's not a tax, it's a fee because you're voluntarily paying for this insurance, even though it's the only one left on the market because they drove all the other ones out. And now you're going to get this garbage care because we're not going to have the doctors that are sticking around and actually accepting this insurance.
What about the people who say can't afford these outrageous rates? So I'm going to be, am I going to be paying for them too then?
Sure, of course you are.
Well, they're going to take care of the rates by fixing the prices. That's their, you know, their economic plan. So they think, we're going to be able to offer lower rates because we'll be able to fix the prices. Now, what they can't control ultimately is the doctors that are going to leave the state. And I think we're going to see that. And then eventually we're going to be at a point where you're going to be having months and months and months to just get an appointment with the doctor for a simple thing, which right now it's pretty decent that we can actually call your local family doc and get an appointment. You know, it's relatively short order, but I don't see that happening in the future in Colorado.
Well, let me ask you on a different scale. We all know that the Colorado Republican Party is divided between the establishment rhinos and what Peter calls the crazies or the principled people.
Because
you'd be crazy to be principled. And that's true down in the state house. I understand that some Democrats go, we don't know who to talk to anymore. You know, the speaker doesn't control anything. Not the speaker, the minority leader doesn't control anything.
Well, if he's even in the room during most debates, he's usually not there. Don't know what he's doing. But there is some of that. There's just a lot of retaliation happening and even votes on spite. There was a division called on it. It was kind of a do nothing bill. We made fun of Dave a lot on it for saying, why are you running this bill? No one cares. One of the Democrats didn't like the call of the division. It was kind of funny. Like, the entire caucus voted with Dave except for, you know, the two main leaders. So there's a lot of spite and all sorts of weird stuff going on. It's just
Cool.
It's really weird to watch being a former leader when you actually tried to get buy-in and actually get the caucus to stick together on some things. And it just seems like that's all they're doing right now is focusing on retribution for the conservatives.
Well, did you enjoy? I know the Colorado politics, and Marianne Goodland in particular ran a lot of very positive articles on you when you were in the House leadership. And I saw the other day they did a very nice one on Hugh McCain. I forget what they call him, the master craftsman or something. Could they be any more hackneyed in their approach?
Oh, probably not. I didn't read it, but yeah, Goodland didn't.
You didn't read it? Screw that.
Terrible story. Yeah, she would write terrible stories, and so I told her, I'm not talking to you anymore. You're no longer welcome in my office. See you later. And then that's when, I'm going to really go after him and just write all sorts of nonsense. She continues to this day. I mean, she did that other little piece about RLC, and she would just post to Sue Moore that wasn't Sue Moore's, is my understanding, and then try to rope it in there like, oh, this rating group, and they're all tied. And it's funny because she's truly trying to give cover to a lot of the Republicans. They're just voting bad.
Let me talk about that.
She's trying to be apologetic.
Let me finish it. So we were back at Ken. Yes, we'd have her in. And I like her as a person. But I'd say, you and Patrick Neville do not get along very well. She said, oh, that's not true. I get along with Patrick perfectly well. I said, well, he doesn't seem to love. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Well, let me explain. Because actually, since you brought it up, because there's so much to talk about today. We didn't have time to get this in, but now we can. So Marianne Goodland is a columnist, writer, I guess. Used to be with the Denver Post. Now with Colorado Politics, which is the Phil Anschutz funded. You would think
she wasn't with the Denver Post.
She was a mainstream media reporter. Now she's with one of the websites, Colorado Politics. And she did a story, basically somebody with a Republican group on a Facebook page, so it wasn't the group, made some comment about the Boulder shooting and Marxism. Now that's never mind, that everybody and the mother on the left side was calling it an angry white man, a Trump supporter without any evidence, which turned out not to be true. But Marianne Goodland apparently was like reaming this group and quoting the usual suspect Republicans who aren't Republicans.
Who would that be?
That would be
Lauren
Cole West, I think.
Colin Larson, who is apparently also a potential gubernatorial candidate. He'd be great.
But anyway, she didn't even try to contact them. Is that right? To get their side of it, and the whole thing turned out it was just somebody posted that had nothing to do with the group, right?
Well, yeah, I think, what's going on. I know exactly what's going on in Goodland's mind is there's a group out there that's actually watching votes and watching how Republicans vote and reporting it to members and reporting it to the public. And, gosh, we can't have this. It might make some Republicans actually shine a real light on them because, every Republican likes to go back to their district and say all the right things and then come to the Capitol and make friends and get along with the lobbyists and just vote away their values, but then say one thing when they go back to their districts, and now there's a group that's watching what they're doing inside the Capitol, and we can't have that. That's going to make
them
look bad. So let's try to run a hatchet piece against them.
And let me finish
one time, Julie.
You
weren't. Now I'll go finish. And I can't even remember what I was going to
say.
No. How many people do you think read the paywall behind Colorado Politics? I mean, I know you don't know officially.
Not many.
Yeah.
No. Not many. Only people, only like there's some people that maybe like lobbyists and people inside the Capitol that really care. But the general public, I bet you there's more people watching the votes on RLC than they are watching, whatever's being written on Colorado Politics. And most of that's because they know Goodland's she ran for all, or she wrote for all those Boulder rag papers, and they all know she's a liberal hack. She's not a journalist whatsoever, and so why would they want to pay attention to her stuff?
Well, and not only that, the same site, they had a big front story. I don't go behind the paywall either. I'm not going to pay for it. But it was like the future of the Colorado Republican Party. And they had a picture of Bob Beaupre. Okay, I get that. He's at least Republican.
Oh, yeah.
The future. But then standing next to him was Michael Hancock.
Well, he's the future of the Republican Party, too.
Mayor of Denver. I'm like, first of all, it's why Bob Beaupre standing next to Mayor Hancock. But that's a whole other thing. But why on earth? I guess it sort of shows where they're going. The future of the Colorado Republican Party shows Bob Beaupre and Mayor Hancock.
And Bob Beaupre also went on some other, I think the Washington Post, to argue the Republicans just need to get beyond this election hang up they have. They just need to just bear down Get out the hay wagon and
vote Democrat
and vote for Biden. I mean, he is.
Well, yeah, we just need to ignore that and, you know, ignore every other principle we have, like life and family values and, you know, principle of limited government. Yeah, then, you know, just ignore all of that, right? That's basically what their message is. Republicans ignore all that, act like Democrats, and maybe just kind of maybe manage the size of government slightly smaller than what the Democrats would want, but still very large and large enough to control your life. And somehow that's the winning message when people are looking for real substance and bold colors and not pale pastels. And that's why the Republican Party's in such shambles right now. It's just we run on things like, hey, we're going to repeal Obamacare. And then John McCain jumps in and doesn't let it happen. And everyone says, well, what do the Republicans even stand for?
Well, let me ask you this. You're on Peter's show, and he says...
Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS.
710, give him a little boost, maybe. And he said, well, Patrick, you know, I really love you. You're my guy, because you're somewhere between the rhinos and the crazies. And I was kind of going, well, who's the crazies? If it's not Patrick and Dave Williams, who is this middle group that we've all been wondering who Peter is identifying? Maybe it's the Peter Republicans. But do you know a third group called the Middlers, between the rhinos?
No, I understand exactly what he's saying, because this is what the Bob O'Praise and all the other
a guy like
Pat Neville is just too crazy and couldn't win in a competitive district. It's the same thing they've said time and time again about all sorts of conservatives, and then lo and behold, that's the same exact thing they said about Stephanie Luck. Lee Winteo is middle of the road Democrat, and Stephanie Luck, the constitutional conservative, she's just crazy and can't win. And now we have Representative Stephanie Luck in a competitive district. And so all the establishment likes to say that and say that we can't win, but the truth is we can, because what we say is not crazy. It is mainstream thought throughout Colorado. And Colorado is still very libertarian, conservative leaning in a lot of minds, but the Republican Party hasn't had a brand, hasn't pushed that, and actually hasn't proven to the voters that they can improve their lives, because they squish out on so many issues. And so I understand what Peter's saying. And it's out of the mainstream. There's nothing crazy about liberty and freedom.
Yeah, yeah. But if you understand what Peter's saying, I didn't personally understand, because I know of two groups. I know of the rhinos and the establishment people, and they're one group. And then there are principled Republicans on the other side. I don't know this third group. This third group that doesn't ever really exist.
Maybe George Brockler?
No, he's on the rhino side, establishment side. I mean, I love him, but that's where he's kind of landed. They're you know, Cole West, you know, joined the Democratic Party. There is no middle group. It's like the Revolutionary War. You're either for the British or you're against the British. You know, there wasn't we're kind of like the British, but we kind of don't. So if Peter's making sense to you, then maybe it's just me. It must just be me.
What on this?
Let him respond, Julie.
Okay.
Well, I think there's, you know, there might be like some out there that have done some crazy antics or something, and then they try to paint us all with that brush. Maybe some of the things Gordon Klingenschmidt did were kind of silly and off-tander. And so maybe that's what they're trying to do. But yeah, bottom line, I don't think that guys like Representative Williams, myself, Shane Sandridge, you know, Kevin Van Winkle, there's nothing out of the mainstream.
No, and neither is Randy Corcoran.
That's what the establishment.
Well, no, neither's Randy Corcoran.
And
neither's Randy Corcoran, and neither is myself. I'm a little crazy, as all good people are, but you know, I just love that establishment one saying, oh, the crazy.
Well, kind of playing off of that, do you anticipate any Republicans voting for this healthcare fiasco coming down the pipe?
Where's Kevin Priola?
Yeah.
You know, I can probably see it. There's probably some out there. Well, this is good for my district. My people are hurting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it's those same people that will say one thing and it's amazing too. I learned this when I was a minority leader. You'd work with someone, see how they operate in the Capitol, and then you would go out and actually visit them in their district to kind of see what was going on throughout the state. And you'd hear them talking. You're like, whoa, where was this person ever in the Capitol? And so it might be some of those folks too that, oh gosh, I really need this. You know, my district really needs, that's what they say in the Capitol. But then they they go back to the district again, and they're talking like I'm talking to you guys now, talking about freedom and individual rights and all the stuff that they're.
Well, that's why the Liberty Scorecard is such a threat. It's such a threat because it is one tangible piece of evidence that a representative is not the same as district as he is down at the Capitol. And they can't stand that.
Yeah, they don't want us to know that. Go ahead.
Same people that push kind of that, or they'll take a 21C to get out of a hard vote and say, oh, there might be a personal conflict of interest. Let me get out of this vote. It's the same folks. And personally, I don't mind being on record. There's times that I'm wrong. I'll admit it. There's been times that I've been wrong in the past, but hey, I'm proud of my record. I'm not going to shy away from it.
No. Well, and I was at a meeting on Wednesday night, and it was a group of women, and they were all kind of talking about, what can we do? One woman was saying, well, maybe we need to draft some, laws to try to get some election integrity in Colorado. And I'm like, it's a good idea they try that. They didn't even get, they laughed at them. I was like,
Senator Dean, I think he proposed some laws.
Yeah.
Died pretty quickly.
There's always
nothing.
No, there's always something.
Okay. Protests ensue.
But Pedro, what can people do maybe to help you? I mean, pay attention to this Liberty Scorecard. Well, exactly. I'm giving them the opportunity. What can people do to help you?
Yeah, pay attention to that. Hold your own legislators accountable. Make them actually act like Republicans with their vote, just not their speeches. And then ultimately, we have Take Back Colorado, takebackco.org. You go there, you can sign up, and we'll get you involved in the big fights that we're going to be involved in, and let you guys know where you can help with your volunteer efforts, where you can help with your treasurer. So that's a great way to help out.
All right, Patrick, thank you for hanging in there.
Well, let me ask him one more question. Julie,
we need to give him a raise.
I need a raise. Are you coming down to tomorrow to the Marriott for the brawl
state convention?
I am not. I will be monitoring it remotely. I've got classes all day tomorrow from 8 to 5, so I'll be trying to do both on two computers at one time.
All righty.
It's like watching sports, sort of. Actually, it's like cage fight. So, okay. Hey, Patrick, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Take care, Pat.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Sandra is saying, I admire Patrick so much. A great fighter. We need more. I agree. And that's where we have to help. I don't know if we have Peg Cage on Zoom. Peg, if you're there, go ahead and open up your camera and unmute yourself.
Here she comes.
So tomorrow is for folks who've been listening to our show. This is a big deal. Huge deal. The state convention where a group, roughly 500 people in Coloradans who have been sort of elected to party positions will be voting on the new leadership. Peg and Chuck, you guys have just been leading the rabble. First, you pushed him to say, okay, no, we have to have a meeting in person. Now there is
which they semi-screwed us, but instead of having at the place that Peg and I found, which had been just great, they said, oh, no, we have to have it around Denver. And at the Marriott, we always have it. And then you get, mask rules, distancing rules, so contact rules, and all the other ones. But they're also doing text by vote, so that it's just amazing to watch Republicans just lay the groundwork.
But you guys are fighting that. And I know, Peggy, wanted you to talk about, again, I was at this meeting of roughly, just to set the stage, 20 women. And they were Trump supporters. We started before the election. We've kept it going because it's like, hey, the world needs us now and we need each other more than ever. And so they were one of the presenters, Shannon, who is like
Pitchfork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was asking them all to come down to a rally. And these group of women who are not overly, they care about politics, right? But they aren't in the weeds, so to speak, like sometimes we are. And they're like, wait a minute, Republicans are going to vote by texting on their phones? They're like, that's the stupidest thing we ever heard of. Yes, we'll come to your protest. They're like, what, how? And they got it immediately. The one woman said, how on earth can we complain about the Democrats' plan when we're doing it ourselves? And so you got a group of 20 women coming down there at least. So why don't you talk about that and then the rally that maybe folks can get down to help even more?
Well, Shannon has been very encouraging to me because, like you said, she gets it. We think, and I use we kind of loosely because I'm not among this group, I don't think, that the Republican leadership thinks that they're a secret society and they don't even publish their members. These people are supposed to be representatives of each district and each county for the people of that district and county to the state party. Their information should be public and we should be able to contact them and talk to them. But as we found out, right, Chuck, trying to get a hold of these people and let them know what's going on, most of the emails bounced back, or about 100 out of the 500 bounced back. And how can you get a hold of these people? There's still counties on that list that don't have the officers listed. And this is the credentials list.
And it's,
so Julie, I am so glad that they are getting together. These people who are not of us are getting together to tell us, hey, we're watching. We're going to pray over you. We're listening, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's insanity. And I mean, the women got it. So for folks who maybe don't know, I mean, you know, we thought the electronic voting was a disaster. I mean, here's the thing.
Clickers.
Yeah. The clickers. Well, I mean, just in the national election, right? I mean, we need to go back to, and every Republican state, Republican senators are pushing, not every, but many are, we need to have one person, one vote, one paper ballot
one
on
day.
Election day, right? Yeah. That's the only way we're going to ensure election integrity. And right. So the electronic system with all mail balloting was bad enough. And now they want us to cell phone. I mean, how long do you think it is before Democrats, you register to vote, here's your burner phone.
Yeah.
Hey, and it's already loaded here, by the way, just hit send. And actually, we'll just even hit send for you. Don't even, I mean, and yeah. This group of women, they got it. They were horrified that the Republican Party was even thinking about doing that.
Well, it is against our bylaws, Julie. And when I started this, it was just because I thought we needed to meet in person. And it turns out our bylaws, even the health restrictions allow for us to meet in person because it's an essential government government operation, whatever, right? So we have no capacity limitations in that realm. So there's no reason for us to not meet in person. And then as we got into this, they kept saying, no, we're going to use the electronic voting. Well, our bylaws exclude the use of electronic voting for the election of officers. And going back over all of the legalese that they put in place to allow for remote participation in a meeting, you know, you got to remember that was not something that we did a year ago. We didn't
right.
participate remotely
right.
in any meeting. So they had to have legislation to allow for this. But it says in the legislation, if allowed by your party bylaws, our party bylaws do not allow for electronic.
Oh, heck, those are more guidelines.
They're more against suggestions.
Those are guidelines.
It depends on how LX feels
well,
in the morning.
And then Chuck is, I mean, these guys, I don't know. I think they're going to, at least you guys are going to hold them accountable, which is about
Well, they'll
time.
Probably throw us
well,
out
Chuck
of the
was,
party, but that's okay. I mean, you know, I've been thrown
Chuck
out
was,
of better organizations.
Chuck was brilliant because one of the establishment people had suggested that you vote with your phone on whether you should be able to vote with your phone. And Chuck says, oh, wait, so we're going to illegally vote to see if it's okay to vote illegally. And I'm like,
actually, Julie, that vote wouldn't be illegal because that's not excluded from the use of electronic voting.
If they'd given proper notice under
yes, and proper notice as you yes, that must have happened and it did.
Yeah, it must have happened, it didn't. Yeah.
Well, and as one of the women noted that at this meeting, again, I mean, people can use their phones. So because we were talking about it, and they said, well, can we go to the meeting? And Shannon was saying, sure you can. And it's like, where is it? And they were looking for the address. So one of the women went on, and they may have updated it. This was Wednesday, this Colorado Republican Party website, and it said the meeting is virtual. They said there is. So if you're a citizen and you're like, well, I want to go down there, and you looked on the website, right? The web, how hard is that? Even I could probably figure out how to change that. The website still says, oh no, if you're a citizen, can't come. It's secret. In fact, it's virtual. And there's no way to get, I mean, it's just outrageous.
It is outrageous. So we're, you know, we have been sending out emails saying be prepared to bring a proxy, because if we can repeal the emergency bylaws, which exclusive, you know, they say you can't use the proxies. So we need to repeal them. If we do that, then we can have proxies for the election of officers.
Right.
Chuck drafted up a proxy. I put it on my website, and I'm writing an article, trying to summarize this. Hey guys, it's not us disenfranchising you from participation in the party.
Right.
It's your party leaders. We have been fighting them. Thank God that Chuck and Randy and Lori were on the executive committee and were able to convince them that, hey, it's time for Republicans to start doing something.
Right. And making a stand. Well, so where's the rally going to be tomorrow? Because I think the more people that can show up and say to the Republican, because we're talking only about roughly fewer than 600 people.
Right.
And as an aside, one of the persons at the meeting noted, I mean, they said, they can't handle paper ballots for that. They're like, you have more people voting for high school prom king and queen, than are going to be at this party. They can certainly handle this. So where can people go, and what can they do to help you?
So the Denver Tech Marriott, the Denver Tech Center Marriott, and Shannon will be set up outside of the Denver Tech Marriott. She has a wonderful video, which I put on my website, pegcage.com.
Okay.
And so there is a prayer rally and public support. Oh, Patriot showing. I love that. Prayer rally and Patriot showing is on my website. You have to scroll down a little bit, but it gives you the links, the address, and this wonderful video of Shannon driving around down there so that she kind of takes the mystery out of the whole thing. She walks around, shows you where it's going to be. It's really delightful. I mean, these people she thinks of so many unique things.
Oh, it is. And it starts at like what, 7 o'clock? I mean, the meeting itself starts at 9.
Right.
And the rally.
They're going to start gathering around 7, but it'll actually start around 7:30.
Okay, and Chuck is speaking.
I'm speaking.
At 8:15. Yes. So.
And let me ask you this, since I've got you here, and otherwise I'd have to call you. does Nancy have that new list, and was she able to send it to me?
I hope so. I can call him, Chuck, and get that to you, because we've got to get those proxies out. I got an email finally from the chairman of the CD4, Congressional District 4 meeting is going to be held tomorrow also. And, they're against this because we have to be able to vote remotely. And, I'm sorry, we are not disenfranchising people. If we were to our bylaws and we were to get in there and they said, hey, we're going to follow our bylaws for a change, we can't do this vote using electronics, then everybody who was not present would be disenfranchised. And I told the credentials committee, which I happen to be on, I said, well, shouldn't we be ready for the distribution or for accepting proxies in case that doesn't happen? No, that's not going to happen. There aren't
don't
enough
be ready. Don't want to be. And that's the point there is they want to pressure people into not doing the right thing. They want to say, if you vote to do the right thing, we're deliberately not going to get ready. So it'll be impossible. And you'll have to, it's just so crooked. It's like, we're Republicans. We're the ones who are supposed to be standing up to Dictator Polis and saying, we can meet in person. We don't need to wear all these stupid masks. We don't need to. And by the way, like Sandra is even saying, what did she say? If the GOP, or this is from Charlene, if the GOP does text voting, how can they champion election integrity? If this goes through our purchasing power, we'll replace elections because we want, and that's exactly right, Charlene. That's the whole point.
Right. If you look at the GOP website, they have an article on there that looks like an advertisement for text to vote. It's just exactly like the all mail ballots. They're getting your finger, their their nose under the tent, and they're going to do, oh, it's okay with the GOP. Look how wonderful it worked for them. Now let's do it for the municipal elections. And oh, it worked great. So now we're going to do it for the general election.
And on top of that, Holly Kaysen and her at Holly at Altitude did a good right. job of pointing out the follow the money aspects. You Absolutely. Have former Republican elected officials who are yes. serving as consultants to the right. text to vote industry, and they're pushing it. Matt Crane, who, by the way, his wife, he's a Republican, his wife worked for Dominion. So, I mean, it's, they need, and I'm glad and so proud of you guys for fighting hard to force the Republicans to follow their own principles. This isn't, it's not insane. I mean, you voted by paper ballot before. We've all done it, right? This isn't some new crazy technology.
So I did call Matt Crane the other day because he is the chairman of the Teller Committee. And I told him perhaps he ought to prepare to have some paper ballots in case we do get a paper ballot vote. And he said he didn't care which way that went, just so long as we had
it. As long as he got paid a lot.
As long as he got paid a lot to be
his wife made a lot of money out of it.
I didn't say that.
I mean, he already got paid. All right.
Well, Nancy hasn't even sent me that list yet. So if you get when you leave the show,
it's fun to let you off the show.
Okay. We'll see you down there.
All right. Thank you, Peg.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody go to pegcage.com if you want to get that information. I think it is important if you can be down there to show up and rally. And number one, just say, hey, we're watching you, Colorado Republican Party, and to follow your own rules. And don't break your own rules. And, you know, this is from Charlene. Kudos to Chuck and all for the in-person convention. Well, because here's the thing. The average Republican, even in the 500 people in this committee, is like, well, yeah, we should vote in person. What you've got is this establishment elite, once again, pretending like they control, well, they do, but pretending like, you know, they're the only ones who can make the rules, bylaws, schmylaws, all of that.
Yeah, and no way to check the votes, no anything else, just it's
we won.
The establishment person won.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. How sweet. How wonderful.
All right. Hey, so we'll keep you obviously posted on that on Monday.
Monday.
We'll be talking about it.
We'll see what we were able to accomplish or what we were able to blow up.
Yeah, really. Or if you come blown up. If Chuck comes in a cast or something like that.
That wouldn't be the first time.
There we go, Sandra. And another great fighter like you two and Patrick and Dave and Casper and Greg Lopez and my favorite, Anil Mathai.
Oh, exactly. And Anil's running. He's running hard. I mean, he came in late, but better late than never. And he's got videos out there. He has robocalls.
That's great.
He's done a tremendous job. So sure.
Let's switch gears. I want to talk about the news conference a little bit. And 888-627-6008. If you want to call in on that, if you're on Zoom, feel free to go ahead and turn on your microphone. And for those of you who are like, hey, how do I get on Zoom? You go to zoom.us and it's 209-576-423 is the meeting number. 209-576-423. So I watched that and I wasn't going to. And then I thought, well, no, I want to see a disgraceful performance by the media. For the vast part, what did the New York Post headline was glazed and confused.
Yes,
I want
yes.
to play you. Chuck was on the phone, but this moment,
as always,
this he is. He's busy trying to take over the Republican Party. But I was listening, and at one point, I turned to him and I like shook him. I'm like, oh my God, Biden just totally lost it. So Thomas, if we could please play the Biden clip. This I thought was one of the worst moments.
One of many.
Say something outrageous. I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're ready to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. Okay. Sorry. Oh, Sing Ming, Ms. Kim.
I mean, I had a relative who had early onset Alzheimer's, and it was the kind of thing where he'd been an executive his whole life.
Right.
And you could have a little bit of a conversation as long as he could. I mean, he'd spent his whole career exchanging polite, you know, sort of pleasantries, and right. he could do that and sound totally well, not totally, but sound very much with it. I think that's all Joe Biden did up there yesterday. You saw he had the cards with the reporters' names.
And the picture.
And the picture. They only called on certain reporters.
Well, he just went down the list. I mean, there were 10 reporters. And once he finished the 10, you could be counted on to ask him softball questions. And he vaguely wandered off stage. But Joe Biden has such a low bar that, you know, I mean, Donald Trump, no matter what he did, it was awful. And with Joe Biden, apparently, you know, you were looking at the polls, Julie, the Democrats gave him an A.
Yeah.
And you go, that's an A?
That's an A.
Whoa. I like to go get my grades from that
and
school.
I bet they gave him the A before the news conference, too, I bet.
No, I'm sure they saw him. They went, oh, look, it's Country Joe. It's Country Joe.
And here's the hope. Obviously, Republicans in F and a lot of the independents. Now, yes, this is according to one poll,
well,
also gave him a D. I mean, if you were...
Even that's too generous. I mean,
what did he say? It's like, I mean, when you look at compare and contrast Donald Trump and him. Now, Donald Trump could sometimes wander away and was certainly like to talk about how great his administration was doing. But he had the facts. He had the command. He didn't look confused. And
he didn't read off cue cards.
No.
I mean, they knew the questions ahead of time, or at least the vague ones.
Clearly
and so,
reading off.
So he would just read it off. I mean, that's not a press conference when you have a president. Now, you know, they point out the press secretary,
Jen Psaki.
No, the one for the Republicans.
Oh, Kayleigh McEnany.
Kayleigh McEnany read off, you know, prepared points.
But
that's because they're not her points. She's trying to get the president correctly. She didn't come up with these policies. They're not her policies. And apparently they're not Joe's policies. Because he doesn't know what they are. He has to read them off a cue card.
Well, he has to read them off a cue card. Not only does he not know what they are, I mean, he couldn't articulate it. He could just sort of spew talking points. I mean, it was uncomfortable to watch. I mean, it was a disaster. It was uncomfortable when you consider that this is the president of the United States. But it was just awkward. You kind of are like, somebody go rescue this poor guy.
Then they have the PBS Alcindor one, and she goes, "You are the most moral and decent man. Is it tough to be president when you're so wonderful?" You know, I mean,
because it is.
Every day it's so difficult. Luckily have Hunter to help me out on the.
Not even to mention the whole Hunter Biden's mistress was his brother's widow throwing his gun away, which Hunter Biden shouldn't have had in the first place. And who shows up to do the Secret Service?
Who were not at the time working for him.
Protecting him.
Yeah.
But the media, I do want to say this, it was shameful.
Yeah.
There was one reporter did a little bit of pushback when she was like, well, when can we go see the things at the border?
When it looks nice.
Well, he said, yeah, I'll give, at least CNN actually did acknowledge it. The CNN guy said, it sounds like what he's saying is when you solve the problem and fixed it, then you can get in.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, when will that be? And he said, I don't know.
Why are you asking me?
Yeah. But I go back to, I mean, the whole border crisis, fortunately, at least the Republicans, I think, are taking advantage of it. I mean, they're going down there and they're getting the pictures out and showing it. And I think people don't like seeing it. People don't like seeing the kids in the blankets like that. Everybody knows that's not good. Everybody knows anymore that the cartels are running massive human smuggling and drug smuggling.
At least they're organized.
Oh, yeah. We should let the cartels, like you said, pretty soon if it becomes too loose, the cartels will stop.
Because they don't let anybody through. You got to have $9,000 to get through.
Right.
So they're going to go, hey, we're not just having people rush the border here.
Right.
It's a cash and carry business.
Well, and here's the other thing too, which is my question. We'll have to find Mike Rebo, our old ICE guy.
Yeah.
So if these people are coming from these poor countries, they have no money, they're coming here, how are they affording the $6,000 to get them into the country? My concern is, I'm betting they're not paying cash. They're probably going to be indentured servants, slaves.
Maybe bringing some product with them.
Well, exactly.
But I love Joe's thing. He's saying, you know, my great grandfather in a coffin boat. You know, it's all BS. Although I've not checked it, how his great grandfather came. And a
little
coffin
different.
Boat. Yeah, I'm not sure it's a coffin boat.
He got here.
If you have relatives. And you'll have some who came over in fine style and came over in creaky boats. You'll have some of all of them. But his explanation, well, they're not just sitting in Guatemala, I mean, Mexico, saying, let's go to the United States. No, they have to come because because of Donald
Trump. It's, you know, and I think the Donald Trump thing, I understand that their PR team tried to put that message together that it's Donald Trump. I don't think most people are buying that. And even if they did buy that it's Donald Trump's fault, I think there's going to be a growing push on Biden to solve it.
He'll solve it. I'll count on that. No problem there. He'll solve it for you.
My point number two is they don't want to solve it.
No, of course not.
It's kind of like what Patrick Neville was talking about with the health care. They want it to collapse.
Yes.
So then they can come in and say, okay, we have to have it all be state run. That's what they want to do. They want the system to collapse. So people will, they'll say, hey, for humanitarian reasons, we just have to have it completely open.
Sandra said, they're all wearing Biden t-shirts.
Yes.
I wonder where they got their money.
Well, in the meantime, you look at, again, follow some of the money.
That's the biggest crowd, pro-Biden crowd that has been. The entire election, there wasn't that many pro-Biden people together.
That's where they got the t-shirts from.
A lot of extras.
But you look at the charitable organizations in California that are literally being paid billions of dollars to bring these people in to help process them. And so, I mean, that's what it's all about. They're getting paid. And there were one, I forget the name of it, that they had the head had to quit because all he was doing was paying himself a massive salary.
No, they wouldn't do that, would they?
That's a shock. It's just a disgrace. And then his comments on the filibuster, which I didn't even understand. Is he for it? Is he against it?
He's for it if he has to. Otherwise, if he just gets to do whatever he wants, why? You can leave it in effect,
right. And then they push their same talking points about gun control, which anymore, I don't even think anybody believes them.
I mean, that kind of
has died down. The Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, they all will talk about it, but they all know no one's going to.
With their armed guards, right?
Well, and then they made a big deal about the Boulder judge that threw out the assault rifle ban, right? Well, it's like the gun muster guy, as if
that guy cared.
Number one, as if he cared. Yeah. Number two, he didn't buy the gun.
You mean that's not legal? Is killing 10 people legal? Is that, well, am I getting some, will I get any trouble for that?
Yeah, that's a 10th charge, right? Or the 11th charge.
But they're going to have other charges. How many more death charges do you, I love how prosecutors and police go, we'll really show them. We'll throw them another 5 years sentence.
And the gun thing, though, he didn't buy the gun in Boulder. That only applies to Boulder. Yeah. I mean, they try to make it seem like to get this judge in trouble. And I guarantee you the judge next time won't overrule it, right? The judge will be like, I mean, it's just, it was just an astonishing press conference. And this is my prediction. Tell me if you agree. And guys, if you agree, I think that what Joe Biden at least did not keel over, and they didn't have to pull the fire alarm and run in and save him. He got through it. And I predict that we will never see another news conference.
Well, if anybody's
in 4 years,
ever had a parent with dementia or Alzheimer's, my father in his mid 80s got Alzheimer's and so forth. You don't get better. It's week by week. It just gets a little worse and a little worse. And by, a year from now, let's say, you think he'll be able to even perform that pathetic show? No.
And here's Mark. He says, we know that Biden is not running the country. And this is true. Absolutely true, Mark. The deep state is. So people like Ambassador Taylor Jr., Ambassador Volker, Mr. Kent, Marie Yovanovitch, Lieutenant Vindman, Jennifer Williams, Gordon Sondland are all running the country. Clowns all. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Oh, yeah. What could possibly go wrong with this scenario?
And he also acknowledged in the news conference that the troops won't be out by May 1st from Afghanistan.
And when will they be out?
The same time we're going to make it transparent on the border.
Exactly.
For you.
Don't know.
We've only been there, 21 years.
Well, and then the reporter
says, "My God, why are we in such a rush?"
The reporter asked a little bit there. The reporter said, "Will they be out by next May?" And Biden said, "Well, can't imagine that they wouldn't, but not clear. Who knows?" And then you want to say,
"I won't know one way or the other."
Right?
So.
Yeah, I won't know. It's like maybe they're out. No, I don't know. It's like you're the commander in chief. Donald Trump would say, "Yeah, they'll be out by Tuesday because that's when I'm ordering them out." You know, although we have to have them all try out their new maternity outfits.
A little extra space, and the bigger guys can probably fit in those.
Yeah, it's just a disaster. But again, I think that the sad thing is he has a protection of the corporate media. The legacy
yes,
media. Now,
yes,
Biden,
yes.
The on the positive side, I always try to find the positive.
You always do.
On the positive side of that, fewer and fewer people are watching the corporate media. And particularly, you look at CNN, you've got these agencies, CNN, MSNBC, actually all of them, that are just the PR arm for the Democrat Party, their viewership is dropped by half, more than half in some cases.
Understand what the other side's doing. I always check on CNN, and they're lost.
Yeah.
They just don't know what to report. They, you know, they have some story on Trump because they have to, and then vague ones about this or that or some lefty-leaning thing, but not much good clickbait.
And one other thing I want to have everybody keeping their eye on, and that is that the federal voting, I mean, essentially making anyone anywhere, anytime can vote law.
Oh, yeah.
That is all being orchestrated by the evil people at Lawfare, which is that
in conjunction with the evil people at Soros. And
right.
I have no idea why Soros gets to go around the world destroying democracies and everything else and happily sitting in New Jersey in his mansion.
And that is something we have to keep a very close eye on. I don't know if they're going to get it through. My guess would be they will. And the Lawfare people, so don't buy the, what they're calling it now. All we're doing is saying we should go back to the laws for elections that have governed this country for decades, for 250 years.
No, they're saying it's voter suppression.
That's
Jim Crow.
Yeah.
It's Jim Crow. You know, it's exactly the same as Jim Crow, which who instituted Jim Crow? Was it the Republicans?
It was the Democrats.
So you're going back to the Democrats' old playbook, huh?
Right, right. You know, for the voter suppression. It's not voter suppression. There's, I was thinking about this. They said it would suppress poor people if they had to show an ID. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know. You have to show an ID to buy cigarettes, to buy booze, to do any number of things. You have to show an ID. Yeah. When you go to the doctor's office, they ask for an ID. I mean, you show an ID for all kinds of things. I'm assuming that, I mean, what is it that somehow poor people don't have IDs? It's like, what? How on earth
they
is
don't
that?
Smoke cigarettes?
They don't. They don't drink alcohol. You know,
last time I go to the 7-Elevens, and a lot of these people seem pretty poor. They seem to have IDs.
Oh, yeah. So, but that's going to be their thing. And, you know,
that's always their thing. I mean, and luckily, they no longer, before they were able to seemingly seem like nice guys.
Right.
And no longer. They know, you know, like, oh, their heart's in the right place. They just, right. You know.
No, you don't think that anymore. So keep an eye on the voter suppression stuff because they're going to try to guilt us. And we need to do, I read an article and retweeted it, the New York Post column, where they said the only way to
you
beat
retweeted
this,
it? Oh, that'll get us in trouble.
But that's the thing. The point of the column is you need to fight back, punch back harder. Don't give in.
Oh, we're screwed.
Don't apologize because that's why they're gearing up this whole racist
thing. We'll be suspended.
Yeah, well, yeah. But you can't keep fighting. I mean, you can't stop fighting. You have to continue fighting every step of the way because they're, you know, racist. We got a thing saying, oh, you guys are racist. I'm like, what racist? It's just ridiculous. But you have to stand up and say, no.
Just saying, I don't want to hear this. Don't say I'm not a racist. It's like saying I'm not a crook. That's right. What they want you to do. You can't go, no.
Oh, and here's Sandra and wanting 16-year-olds to vote. Exactly.
Yes.
That's what we really need, a bunch of 16-year-olds voting.
12-year-olds.
Control of the teachers union.
Yeah, under the control. Oh, the teachers. The one good, you know, this is a side, but in West Virginia, which has been dominated by the teachers union, they got some of the best open school choice ever.
Yeah.
After the teachers union brought the state to its to a halt with its strike. So maybe there's some.
Well, but here's the thing, Sandra, you know what? Maybe we should let 16-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds vote because then we don't even need to use phones anymore. We can just use our PlayStations or our Xbox controls and we can just vote on
Xbox
those.
Voting.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we can have a game and you can get, you know, when you win the game, when you
when you vote Democratic, you get extra bonus points.
Right. If you vote
and
Republican,
rewards.
You get shots.
All right, Julie, we're done for another Party Friday. Is there Booth is telling us, so it's we'll give you a report on all the fun activities down at the Denver Marriott.
That's right. In the meantime, chuckandjulie.com. Go there for everything. We got all our shows, all the podcasts. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube and subscribe to our newsletter. Are you off to Boy Scouts?
I don't know.
Chuck is all right. He's weighing his social options, but he will be there tomorrow. I'll be guarding the fort. I will see you all. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you to everybody at BBS. Thank you to Patrick and thank you to Peg.